Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, April 8, 2020. South Sudan confirms a second case of the COVID-19 in the country.
This is a 53-year-old woman working for the United Nations who came in the country on 23rd March from Kenya.
And some Sudanese journalists join the fight against the coronavirus.
The management of the newspaper issued a statement 10 days ago to suspend a printing and gave a leave to all the staff for a period of 1 week.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's task force on the coronavirus confirmed a second case of the COVID-19 in South Sudan. The task force says a lady who entered South Sudan from Kenya last month tested positive on Tuesday. Dr. Makur Koriom, undersecretary in the Ministry of Health, says the patient has been put in an isolation and is in good health. He says the high-level task force on COVID-19 is working with the World Health Organization and the United Nations to trace everyone who had contacts with the two patients who have tested positive so far. Koriom calls on South Sudanese to stay calm and adhere to the preventive measures to prevent the spread of the pandemic in the country. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Dr. Makur Koriom, undersecretary in South Sudan's health ministry, says the patient had no contact with the first confirmed case.
This is a 53-year-old woman working for the United Nations who came in the country on 23rd March from Kenya.
Dr. Koriom says the patient is in isolation and in good health. He also says the health ministry is working with the World Health Organization and other aid agencies to identify and trace everyone who came in contact with the two COVID-19 cases so they can be tested for the virus. He says the country's high-level task force on COVID-19 is working with UN aid agencies to ensure humanitarian services continue to reach the needy across the country despite restrictions on travel and gatherings.
The high-level task force also exchanges with the United Nations leadership in the country with regard to the operations of the United Nations, which are of humanitarian nature, and activities like medical evacuation, food deliveries, and risk mitigation activities have been granted the permission to operate during these restrictive periods.
Dr. Koriom is urging the public to remain calm and adhere to the preventive measures announced by the government to stop the spread of the virus.
The only way you can avoid COVID-19 infection is by listening to advice given by healthcare professionals, observing rules of social distancing, reporting suspicious cases, and stay at home.
Dr. Koriom says if people must venture outside for necessities, they should avoid crowds and playing games outside. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The South Sudan High-Level Task Force on COVID-19 says 35 people who had contact with the first patient who tested positive for the coronavirus have been identified and their blood samples were taken for tests. The deputy chair of the task force, who is also the country's first vice president, Riek Machar, says his team is waiting for test results. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Machar, who serves as deputy chair of the high-level task force on COVID-19, says the task force is carrying out tests on the 35 people who were in contact with South Sudan's first case of COVID-19, a UN staffer who had traveled from the Netherlands through Addis Ababa and entered South Sudan on February 28th.
We are following the contacts of this one case and we will inform you soon, since we have samples now in the lab. We hope they will be free from the virus, but we are ready for any eventuality.
Machar says the task force is carrying out further investigations to determine whether more people may have been in contact with the first COVID-19 case. He did not say all 35 are UN staffers, but says nearly all UN personnel in South Sudan are self-isolating.
The UN personnel are quarantined in their private residence, because at least each has a room. So they have done that, except for those who go out. There are the leaders who come and meet us or who go and meet, do other functions.
Asked whether the patient might have become infected while in South Sudan, Machar said it was possible. The high-level task force on Tuesday received $100,000 from the Intergovernmental Authority on Development to help fight the spread of the coronavirus. Last week, Dr. Angoko Gordon Kwol, the incident manager for COVID-19 at the Health Ministry, said South Sudan needs nearly $20 million to train more health officers and carry out other preventive measures. After a second COVID-19 case was confirmed, Machar said the high-level task force and the UN are working to come up with guidelines for managing operations of various UN agencies in the country.
How they will operate the essential services. For example, the World Food Program is distributing food all over the country. They are also airdropping food in places which are inaccessible, and they are bringing medicine.
The high-level task force has asked government institutions to ensure their staff work only half days to study the incubation period of 14 days. The COVID-19 task force has also advised employers to encourage their staff to work from home. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Internal displaced persons sheltering at a UN protection of civilian sites in Juba say the government has imposed a lockdown and barred them from leaving the camp. The spokesman for the South Sudan Police Service says the police are enforcing an order by the high-level task force to prevent internal displaced persons from leaving the camp after a UN staff tested positive for the coronavirus. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
A huge security presence of military, police and national security service forces surround the camp and major routes leading out of the camp. IDP Darhok Riak Makwaj says IDPs feel afraid after security and police forces converge on the POC checkpoint yesterday.
They seriously get the IDPs who want to enter to the town through the checkpoint. United Nations cannot fulfill the need of IDPs living in the protection of civilian side currently. Somehow we defend outside. We now have no access to water. Seen yesterday, we have no water.
Bella Henry Lam, who also resides at the protection of civilian side, says some IDPs who work outside the camp lost their food ration cards and are abused when they try to return.
Some people don't have cards for food, some have, and some support themselves with food which is outside. We go buy food from outside, then come and sell it inside here for the people to get some food. Food, we need life, we need everything. We no longer have what. We just want these guys to open for us. Whenever we go outside, they just beat us. The police would be beating us, beat our fathers, beat our mothers. And our mothers are just going to get food. Our fathers are going for the office work.
IDP Paul Makong says he worries about NGOs operating in the camp, reducing healthcare services for the IDPs.
Healthcare is becoming very difficult within a day. And what if it runs for almost 3 to 4 days? How will it be? And then for the traders, it's difficult for them to go and buy their goods, of which they can improve their trade.
UNMISS spokesperson Francesca Anne-Marie Mould said UNMISS is not restricting the movement of IDPs. In an email, Mould wrote, quote, "The UN has temporarily restricted movement of its staff due to negative commentary about the UN in recent days. This is being reviewed on an ongoing basis. We are not restricting the movement of displaced families from the POC sites." any questions on restrictions that may be imposed by government or security forces should be referred to those organizations to answer, end quote. Major General Daniel Justin, a spokesperson for the South Sudan National Police, confirms the government is restricting the movement of the IDPs.
They are not supposed to come out. The UN was the one who raised this in a meeting that they want these people to go. Our authorities said no, let them stay because of the case of coronavirus, which is detected now in the UN compounds.
Justin says plans are underway to screen all of the IDPs because the first confirmed case was a UN staffer. Major General Lulrai Kwong admits there is a heavy deployment of forces directed by the presidency to implement a lockdown on the IDPs in Juba and Malacca.
It's the civilian. I've seen presence, every presence of security forces around areas adjacent to POCs where they are in Juba or in Malacca. It is enforcement of the directives on how to control the spread of coronavirus. If there were beatings or there were another forms of harassment, I'm not saying that we are condoning that. What I'm saying, if their movements are being restricted, that one is in line with presidential directive.
Lulrai says the army leadership will launch an investigation of reports of harassment, but the IDPs are not allowed to leave the camps. Machar is not calling it a lockdown at the camp.
Not yet really. The POCs, what has happened in the UN system, they have quarantined themselves. At the POCs, they are not in contact. The international personnel that work for the UN systems are not in contact with the POCs.
Machar says the IDPs must be quarantined just like UN staffers at the camp. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese journalists step up the fight against the coronavirus. Find out how after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who do you listen to in difficult times and why?
Mostly I listen to my wife and my dad, because these two people, they know me better than anybody.
I listen most to my mom because she's been through a lot. She has a lot of experiences. Anytime I tell her something, she kind of has a solution to the problem.
The person to listen to in difficult times: one, your parents. Two, if you're married, then it should be your partner, because your partner is the person who is there with you every time.
In difficult times, I most of the time listen to my fiancé. When I speak to him, he gives me good advice that helps to calm me down.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Three Sudanese newspapers have decided to go online to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in the capital, Khartoum. The editor-in-chief of Al-Ahdath Daily says newspaper handling could help in the spread of the coronavirus in the capital, Khartoum. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The Al-Hadasa Arabic Daily and the Al-Mijhara Siyasi newspapers suspended printing hard copies amid the rising number of coronavirus cases reported in Sudan. Al-Fateh Ibrahim Wadidi is editor-in-chief of Al-Hadasa Arabic Daily, which was founded in December last year. Wadidi says management decided to send home nearly 50 non-essential employees and keep only few reporters on duty who will post their work online. Speaking in Arabic, Wadidi says printing copies of the newspaper can spread the virus among readers.
A copy of newspaper can be circulated among more than 10 people, and if one of them is sick, the disease can easily be spread through the paper. So it's our belief that the paper can also help in increasing the disease among people.
Rashan Oshi, one of the editors at Al-Mijhar Siyasi newspaper, confirms her group suspending printing the newspaper a week ago to adhere to guidelines issued by the health authorities about avoiding crowds. Speaking in Arabic, Oshi says management sent home most of the staff, retaining only essential personnel who produce online news.
The management of the newspaper issued a statement 10 days ago to suspend a printing and gave a leave to all the staff for a period of 1 week.
The management of Al-Siha Arabic newspaper has allowed all female staff to begin working from home. Meanwhile, the first Sudanese online English newspaper was launched on April 6th, coinciding with the one-year anniversary of the start of the sit-in in Khartoum's military headquarters, which led to the ouster of President Omar al-Bashir. Muhammad Ali Fazari, editor-in-chief of the online English paper Khartoum Today, says the online newspaper is providing information about the COVID-19 pandemic in Sudan.
It is very important these days due to the outbreaks of coronavirus, and all the newspaper should be turned to online newspaper so that many countries around Sudan prohibited circulations of newspaper worldwide.
Sudanese Health Minister Akram Atom confirmed two more COVID-19 cases on Tuesday, bringing the total number of the confirmed cases to 14 in Sudan. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The International Labour Organization says the COVID-19 pandemic is having a devastating impact on the world of work, with nearly 200 million full-time employees expected to lose their jobs. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The pandemic is upending an earlier projection by the International Labour Organization that global unemployment would reach 25 million by the end of this year. A new assessment by the ILO warns that figure could be significantly higher if the coronavirus continues to spread uncontrollably. The report says COVID-19 is expected to wipe out 6.7% of working hours globally over the next 3 months. That is equivalent to the loss of 195 million full-time employees. ILO Director General Guy Ryder says the impact of the unexpected disaster is far worse than the 2008 global financial crisis. He says every region in the world is facing the full or partial shutdown of their workplaces, a situation that affects more than 80% of the world's 3.3 billion workers.
The highest figures in percentage terms are being felt in the Arab states, followed by Europe. And up until this point, the lowest income proportionately, I repeat, is in Africa. But if you translate those percentages into absolute numbers, unsurprisingly, the biggest losses are in the Asian Pacific region, the most populous region of the world.
The report finds the sectors most at risk include accommodation and food services, manufacturing, retail, and business and administrative activities. While both global health and the economy are suffering from COVID-19, Ryder says there's no simple trade-off in the kind of rigorous actions to be taken in dealing with the issues.
The magnitude of the economic and social issues we are discussing today are in effect a direct consequence of deliberate policies taken in the field of health. And so we have to integrate our responses and try to address both of these elements in a way which is not simply the zero sum that might be some might see. It's not a question of either saving lives or saving the economy.
The ILO study says governments must support enterprises, employment, and incomes while stimulating the economy and jobs. It says workers must be provided with social protections to help them weather the crisis. Lisa Schlein for VOA News Geneva.
Ugandan authorities say refugees are defying safety measures to prevent the control of the spread of COVID-19. Uganda has 59 confirmed cases of the COVID-19, and the country is under lockdown. Authorities have suspended admission of new refugees for 1 month. As Halima Athumani reports from Kampala, the Ugandan government is discussing how to enforce restrictions in refugee camps.
Authorities in Uganda are finding it difficult to get residents of refugee settlements to adhere to safety measures meant to control the spread of COVID-19. To date, Uganda has recorded fewer than 100 confirmed COVID-19 cases. To keep the number down, last month, President Yoweri Museveni closed all borders and suspended movement of refugees into the country. Titus Jogo is the Adjumani Regional Refugee Desk Officer. He tells VOA via WhatsApp that while authorities have managed to halt movement through both official border posts and informal crossings, the internal movement of refugees remains a challenge.
They are now on cash. So they receive cash and they have to run to the market to buy what? To buy food. We also have issues of internal settlement movement. We have tried to talk to them, but they continue moving, going to relatives, checking on this and this. And of course, we still have border cyclists. People there in the refugee settlements, they have not heeded to these instructions.
Jogo says they've stepped up measures to ensure refugees know how to prevent the spread of the virus.
We have translated them in the most commonly used languages among the South Sudanese. We have engaged public address systems. We have engaged people on borders with recorded support messages on COVID-19.
Uganda is host to more than 1.4 million refugees, the largest such population in Africa. 13 districts in Uganda host refugees from countries such as South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, Somalia, Rwanda, and Kenya. Uganda's State Minister for Disaster Preparedness, Muse Tweru, says the refugees may need some extra persuasion to accept the restrictions.
Our people come from countries where they have not been governments. So to submit to authority takes time. I'm going to discuss with the High Commissioner today. We want to send a team to go and make sure that they are talked to and then the enforcement starts.
But if there is an outbreak in refugee areas, says Echeru, the government has prepared the isolation centers that were set up earlier to handle potential Ebola outbreaks. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Zimbabwe's government has endorsed a traditional herbalist to treat the coronavirus, but health experts are skeptical. Columbus Mavunga has more for VOA from Harare.
Zimbabwe's Minister of Health delivered a letter Monday to the head of the country's main COVID-19 treatment center in Harare, asking him to consider using a herbalist who has questionable claims to have a cure for the virus. Speaking via WhatsApp, Dr. Nyikamahashi, the president of Zimbabwe College of Public Health Physicians, said the coronavirus was still evolving and its mortality were still fairly high.
We cannot take a chance with traditional medicine that is not proven. Even on the regular medicines that we have, none of them have been proven to be effective in treatment or cure of COVID-19. So this is an unwelcome development. And like I said initially, I'm hoping that this is not a true approval. You know, something went wrong somewhere and the ministry urgently addresses this.
Mahaji said that the government should instead stick to WHO guidelines on how to contain the virus, which so far has impacted 10 people who tested positive in Zimbabwe, killing one. But Tribet Shishanyu, the president of Zimbabwe Traditional Practitioners Association, said his organization was happy that President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government is allowing herbalists to treat coronavirus positive Zimbabweans.
traditional medicine practice is older and wider than science, and it is well accepted by the majority of Zimbabweans. If modern scientists are given opportunities to try whenever there is an emergency disease, why can't we do the same to traditional medicine practice? We are treating symptoms related to COVID-19, so by any chance, we may get a chance to treat the COVID-19.
He adds that traditional practitioners are consulting with spirit mediums in hopes of finding new COVID-19 treatments. Fortune Nyamande, chairman of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, said using herbs may derail the gains that came with the nationwide 21-day lockdown, which ends next week.
We also wish to just highlight that those who are going to use this approach also needs to be aware of how to make use of protective personal equipment, because they may end up getting infected by the virus. You know, they may end up being agents of transmission to the broader communities. So, by and large, you would say this needs to be really treated with caution. We always advocate for interventions which are grounded in science, that are grounded in evidence, and that have been shown to work elsewhere.
Minister of Health Tuesday refused to comment on the matter, but confirmed the authenticity of the letter authorizing herbalists to treat Zimbabweans affected by the coronavirus. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Bini Anubi by Body J. Listening to Body J with the song Bini Anubi. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay at home, wash your hands, keep social distance, and stay safe from the coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
You are the luckiest.